Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, great morning. Great morning here today on the second day of October 2018. Lord's not making another one. Honored as always for all of you to get up with us and take part in the show. There's 31 of us in the queue. There's a lot of people that are listening that just kind of log in. I think we're back on YouTube, aren't we, Jared? Are we streaming again on YouTube? And as much as we want to get, I really struggle with it because, you know, I want to give their number one symbol to Facebook. You guys know what I'm talking about? Their number one. I want to give that symbol to them, but that's where everybody is. That's where you reach people, even though we're finding out it's older folks that we're reaching. So I'm really conflicted. I want to say goodbye to their number one, and then I want to give a number one to YouTube. We find people that our views go up when we go on YouTube. I don't know what it is. So welcome, watching on YouTube. Heading to Iowa tomorrow. Going to go to Iowa. Denny Bryan's got an event going on out there, and it's in Des Moines. Boy, Jared's on top of pulling that stuff right up there for us. And going to fly out tomorrow after the show. Just going to do a real quick 24-hour turnaround back. Denny Bryan's been working really, really hard to pull it together. So if you're anywhere in that Iowa area, get a hold of Denny. We're going to be at the Modern Floor Covering at 215 Highway 432, Oskaloosa, Iowa, right next to the Walmart FEMA camp. Plenty of parking, free RSVP, cool, so he knows who's coming. Kevin Van Store is going down through the Freedom of Addiction there in Cartersville, Missouri. That's on October 6th. That's this weekend coming up. Kevin's trying to there's only freedom from addiction in Jesus, right, David? It's only through Jesus. Everything else is nothing more than just self-control. That's really all it is. And so, you know, praise the Lord to Kevin's reaching out to Faith New Hope Church there in Carterville. What's the next one, Jared? Pull that one up there. I'm going to go back to Iowa on the 10th, 9th, I think it is, back to Iowa. Field of Faith event in Manchester, Iowa, going back there. I'm coaching, speaking on an event there. We're doing a couple get-togethers, October 13th. Say, Coach, are you crazy? Yeah, we're coming back. We're going to Chad's having a regional Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting down there in Moody, Texas, October. If you're not getting involved in some of these things, I don't know what to tell you. October 13th down there, Chad's always got something great going on. And again, Chad, I appreciate you coming out here this week and the sacrifices you made to do that. Then the big event, Earnestly Contending for the Faith with Rob Pugh and Rusty Thomas and Matt Truella, Church Arise event at Marshfield on October 17th. Going to be there for 2 days, and then we're going to go down to Milwaukee on October 19th, Earnestly Contending for the Faith in Milwaukee. Run out of breath coming back, catching our breath, and going to go to the first our first regional huddle in Hellertown, PA, out there by Bethlehem, PA. That's November 3rd. A lot of information there, who to contact and how to get a hold of them, what to do. First regional huddle there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're actually making a change on that one. We're going to be in Temple, Texas. So, Jared, I got to get a hold of that. We're going to change that November 10th and 11th event because of an event we're going to pull off down there in Temple, Texas. And still love to come to a place near you. Man, we're on the move. We are on the move. So, find some place to plug in. Thank you for plugging in here this morning. And many, many, many things to talk about. I had a conversation yesterday, an email conversation yesterday. I just have the urge to say this. I'm going to say this. Why don't people believe David Arthur's story? Why don't we believe in miracles? Why don't we believe in transformation? Why don't we believe in redemption? What's the big deal about it? I got an email from a very nice email very nice email from somebody inquiring, but thinking about having David Arthur come and speak, inquiring about it. And if you have any verification, they say, now I understand. You have any, hey, let me ask you something, fellas out there. You have any verification that anybody's safe? You have any verification? You tell me you're safe, do you have any verification of it? Oh, you used to be an alcoholic. Do you have any verification of that? You have any verification of your previous debaucherous life? No, I don't. So I said, yeah, I got some verification. I met his mommy. I met his mom. Mom said it was true. He's been in my house. I've felt his spirit. I've tested his spirit. Yeah, I got some good verification of it. Why? Can somebody help me here? Why is it we want to see miracles and then we see a miracle and then we don't want to believe the miracle? Somebody explain that to me. We need to pray for David, by the way, because David tomorrow is going to go to, you're going to go into the public school tomorrow, right, David?
Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday, I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't be back in time to do it. On Thursday, he's going to go into that same school I went in. David gets to go in there again. And this is really, you know what I think? I think David Arthur's, stories like David Arthur's, they ought to be commonplace. They ought to be commonplace, and they're not. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Jared, I don't really know how to do this for those who are not part of the queue. I have two things. I want to show you two quick things here from Lowell. Lowell's with us. Lowell sent out the – Lowell, when we were in the Bremen in Ohio here this past weekend, Lowell started out the event with about an hour and 15-20 minute video. We didn't watch all of it. We watched about 50 minutes of it. And then I watched the rest of it again yesterday, Lowell. It's really, really something. This whole idea of the two witnesses, who are the two witnesses? And when Lowell first started playing it, I thought, where's this thing gone? Because I have as those of you who listen regularly know this, I think our misplaced love and adoration of, I believe our love and adoration of Israel is misplaced. You know, people know that. So I'm very, very sensitive when people start talking about that kind of stuff. My antenna go up and say, oh, here we go. So I watched it, and I was really captivated by it. We have a video that I'm going to try to make available. Jared, maybe you can put it on the website for those who don't have access to it. It's a powerful video on the two witnesses. And let me tell you who the end up of the video is. And this really, it really inspired me, Lowell. Now I see why you wanted us to watch it. It shows what we're walking into. That each and every believer in the body of Christ is going to be that to those two witnesses. It's not, we think it's Elijah, or we think it's Enoch, or we think it's Moses. And this video is, I was skeptical, and I watched this, oh my goodness. And it shows at the very end that that the martyrs, you know that the word martyr is most often used in the Bible as witness. You get a martyr's crown. Martyr means different things in different places, but it's used like 31 times. Martyr means witness. Think about that. You're going to be martyred for your witness of Christ. It's not doom and gloom. In fact, Lo, it really encouraged me, man. It really, really encouraged me.
It's very upbeat. Let me just say this. We will be a shield for people. We will witness, and we will say, come with us. Come here. Amen. With us, just like it would be like Noah's Ark, where he's getting people to come into the ark as Amen. Opposed to trying to keep them out. It would be a glorious time.
Miraculous miracles and works are going to go through. It's what the Bible tells us, folks. It's all this end time malarkey that we're hearing about. The end time malarkey, there's going to be unbelievable gifts of the Holy Spirit that are going to be poured out in this end time. And who those two witnesses are. So, Jared, I don't know how I'm not going to watch any of it because you just can't get a feel for it. But it's very well worth your hour and 17 minutes or whatever it takes. Is Jimmy Kraft in here this morning? Because Jim sent me Jim watched the rest of it yesterday. Jim's in here. Jim, give me your take on that. Folks, it's hard for us to explain something to you that you haven't seen, right? So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but to tell you that it will definitely be worth your time to watch it. All right. Jim's in here, but he maybe, you know, he's down there where they're probably in no good internet. Okay. So folks, if we give you this, make this video available, take some time and sit down. It was, Lou, I got to tell you, it was great encouragement to me. It's great encouragement. It's great encouragement that if I'm going to be martyred, I'm going to be martyred for the King, and I'm going to be martyred as a witness to others and rescuing others, bringing others into the kingdom. Folks, it's awesome, man. It's just awesome. And I'm going to tell you, the average church doesn't want anything to do with it. Okay, then second thing I want to show you, and this is also from Russ. We're really living in crazy times. Jared, this is about it says the Antifa violence video. Jared, click on this. Folks, I don't know if you've seen this. This is what we're dealing with. Understand, as I try to say over and over and over, the spiritual world's coming to the natural world. The spiritual world is manifesting and showing up in the natural world. And we're still having a hard time believing that. We still can't recognize that what's going on with Brett Kavanaugh as the accuser of the brethren. We still don't get it, right? We still don't get it. Hey, Jared, hang on. Before I play that, Jared, I sent you one, a standalone email, Jared, that says bullying. Pull that up there real quick, okay? Yeah, let's pull that up before we watch this video. This came from Carl Gallup. I didn't copy the whole thing, but I think this is, I want to share this with you so that we understand when we talk about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Folks, it is physical. It is a physical spiritual battle. Does that make sense for it to be a physical spiritual battle? Now, this is Carl Gallup right there, Jared. That's good. That's good. So this is part of this commentary that Carl Gallup just wrote. So I just wanted to pull this up because I understand that what we're seeing. Remember, the devil and the left always accuse you of what you're doing, of what they're doing. I'm sorry. They always accuse you of what they're doing. Always do. Always do. Okay. So this whole bullying thing, as we've been watching that evolve over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, bullying, 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 bullying. The left are the greatest bullies. They always accuse us of doing what they're doing. Okay. So Carl Gallup put this together, and I just thought it was read down through this really, really quickly. Because this is what Carl says. Bullying is defined as, he got this, by the way, you can read the entire page from Tyler Clementi Foundation is where he found this. Okay. But he copied this in context. Now ask yourself if this isn't what's going on. Bullying is defined as any unwanted and harmful verbal, psychological act committed by an individual or group, as well as any real or perceived threat or imbalance of power. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, bullying includes humiliation. Think of Kavanaugh now. Think how they fight. Humiliation, spreading rumors or lies. In order to be considered bullying, behavior must be aggressive and include an imbalance of power. Meaning bullies use their power, such as access to embarrassing information, to control or harm others. Folks, remember, this is written, they're explaining to us how our children are being bullied in school. That's what this is supposed to be about. Now take it and put it, superimpose it on what's going on. Not only to Christians in general, okay? This is demonic, folks. Power imbalances can change over time. Listen, let's go back. Bullies use their power, such as access to embarrassing information, to control or harm others. Power imbalances can change over time and in different situations, even if they involve the same people. Bullying includes actions such as spreading rumors, attacking someone verbally. Social bullying, sometimes referred to as relationship bullying, involves hurting someone's reputation or relationships. That's called social bullying. It includes spreading rumors about someone, embarrassing someone in public. Why does bullying matter? Bullying is a serious issue and a matter of public health and safety. Do you believe this? It creates a climate of fear. Adults harmed by bullying often suffer from a wide range of problems. So picture Brett Kavanaugh, right? Picture what's going on with Christians. Picture what goes on with a football coach who tries to pray for his football team. Picture what goes on to somebody who tries to stand up in city council and talk about Jesus. Anywhere you go, you will find bullying. And yet, what's the left constantly telling us? Bullying is awful while they bully. You with me? Let's not miss this. So this Russ Howe, Russ presented this 5-minute video about Antifa and violence. This is 11 minutes. We're not going to watch all of it. I can't take it. I thought it's 5. Play some of this, Jared, so people understand. Folks, understand. Look at me. The devil is, there's a devil loose. And that devil is impacting. Stop a minute. Think how hard you struggle with sin. Filled with the Holy Spirit, lover of Christ in your scriptures, and how strong temptation is in your life. I want to ask you something. What would your life be like if unrestrained by the Holy Spirit? And we are dealing with young people in particular who have no knowledge of Christ in their heart. None have no knowledge of Christ. They have to serve something. What they're serving is basically their own selfish needs and desires, right? And we're seeing right now, did you guys see that they ran Kavanaugh out of his house? They spray painted his house? Did you guys see that? Have you watched what's going on all across America? Where now a senator's offices are being bombarded, overtaken. Have you watched what's going on? The ultimate bullying taking place. Remember, oh, thank you, Lord. Remember, they will accuse you of doing what they do. That's how they get away with it. So this is another good video that we're going to try to get out to you. And Jared, let's just play a few minutes of this so people get a feel for it.
And her tactics, and I don't think they'll know ahead of them because they're not prepared for what we're planning.
Here, you're gonna take the knife.
How much of a
got 2 AKs coming.
Matt McDonald here with Fox 13 News.
We've been tracking Antifa for a long time. He was just down there at President's Circle, and they were handing out sharp objects to stab people with, said they had someone come up with an AK. Why did it take 2 late night hosts, comedians, to find this out?
You know what? I wish you guys luck.
Protests, violence, riots, calling everyone a Nazi. This is the MO of Antifa. We've all seen it, but the media, politicians, and academia all defend, deflect, or completely deny.
They are strictly principled anti-fascists.
What we saw was some brave people risking their lives.
That group protests fascism. Maybe their tactics weren't exactly right. It's messy.
Antifa are people who go and they try to put back on these guys, but it is not the case that they are going around building an armed movement.
Fascism cannot be defeated through speech. You need to take it with the utmost seriousness before it's too late.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, are interested in preserving the fabric of America.
Antifa is one of those things that somebody came up with as a catchphrase so that you could say, you know, oh, there is violence on the other side.
Why is that? Why defend the indefensible? Are they really just an inconsequential group of rabble-rousers? How deep does Antifa's organization go? What's their end game? Well, for several months, we tracked and infiltrated Antifa. He boasted of his sawed-off shotguns and armory in his trunk.
I have, on the border between just a regular rifle and an assault weapon and a sawed-off style shotgun. It's a thing.
Yeah,
blue Subaru with a dent on driver's side.
So what they claim and what they do are two very different things.
Some plain clothes and her tactics, and I don't think they'll know ahead of them because they're not prepared for what we're planning.
Despite wanting to put distance between themselves and Antifa, and despite what resident gay Asian SJW in chief George Takei tweets out, Antifa has never operated alone. They've been actively supported by professors and other leftist and student organizations. For example, current University of Utah faculty like Cindy Geraldine Solomon-Kleppa and Alinda McKenna encouraged and emboldened students to disrupt the Ben Shapiro event and to create chaos.
People like Ben Shapiro are the most dangerous people on this earth. And we're going to fight him tomorrow.
Solidarity! And student organizations like the Students for a Democratic Society, because that's a thing, not only work alongside Antifa when convenient, but work with them to scope out police and even to provide pseudo-security by committing acts of violence.
Antifa is, just to be clear, it's not an organization.
That's what we want to know.
It's short for anti-fascist, and I'm absolutely anti-fascist.
And I would echo what Ian just said. Antifa as a label does not mean one static organization, but it's definitely an ideology, a movement, a stance, if you may, of anti-fascism, bar none.
We signs explicitly ask these people who show up in Black Bloc to show up, these Antifa people to show up.
Freeze
because,
men.
You know, in the past.
Look at that, folks. It's not democratic. See, students for a democratic society, their words always mean the opposite. Well, that's enough of this, Jared. This goes on and on, and this will be another video that we'll make available for you guys to be able to see. And this is all happening because we don't get it. Our side does not get it, okay? Now, we are seeing these teenagers, these college kids who have no knowledge of God in their hearts at all. They're nothing but absolute, selfish, self-imposed. The five I wills, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High, I will. That is the spirit behind all of this, folks. All of it. And as we've tried to share with you before, this is a result of, oh man, Lord, help me bring this together. Let me pause a minute. I sense somebody's got something to say. Jared, Ezekiel 22. Go ahead. Somebody want to come in?
Coach, I was just going to interject that it is highly likely we are going to be running headlong into these people at the event down at Owen Sawyer's on November 10th.
Yes. Well, it's highly likely that you wait till Kavanaugh's confirmed. You see the connection? Now, listen. This is spiritual, folks. This is not political. This is spiritual. And I continue to connect the dots, even though it makes people uncomfortable. I'll go where nobody's afraid to go. It is the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male that's under attack in America. We still don't get it. Why? Because it's the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male that's taking the gospel to the world and will continue to take the gospel to the world. These folks here, they're not going to take it. They're doing everything they can to effeminize manhood. They're doing especially. Do you know why they were so nervous about the Kavanaugh hearings and this charge of sexual whatever? Well, they didn't want to see white men questioning a woman. That's where we are. See? Where we are. Now, nobody will say it. You can be Black Pride, Hispanic Pride, Oriental Pride. You can be all kinds. You can't be white pride. Oh, no. You're white pride. You're KKK. Do you see what they do to us? You see? And because of the ridicule, Jared, okay, thank you, Lord. All right. I knew I wasn't right where I needed to be. Jared, go down because many people are joining us have never seen this before. Jared, go down to, it says, Bolin Report, Saul Alinsky's 12 Rules for Radicals. It's important for me to bring this up. I'm going somewhere for the scriptures, too. Bear with me a second. You see it down there? Yeah, Chad.
Okay, sorry. I was right on the heels of Kevin. I was talking about, you know, look, we had the possibility of facing violent adversity at every time of activity that we go to. Okay, and if we don't face violence, we're definitely facing some type of spiritual stuff. And that's why, folks, look, when we talk about putting on the armor, it's not a slogan.
Amen.
It's not just something you say. It's if you can't go to the event, then you need to be on your knees getting coverage for those of us that are going to be there. Whatever that is, whatever the event is. And we need to be setting that up now. You know, go ahead and lay that artillery out there and get that naval gunfire up on that beach right now. Now, for every one of these, the Iowa one, whichever one, all these that are coming, we have to be in constant prayer, okay? That's what I'm trying to get at, that we don't wait till the last minute and just expect everything to work out. We need to be aggressive. We need to be on the offense. So I'm calling the play. Look, get on your face. And let's get some protection out there, and let's get some adversity going against the dark side that they'll fail, period. Amen.
Amen, amen, Chad. And that's why, when we were at Lowell's this weekend, so we pointed out a number of times the harmony and unity that was there. Not uniformity, not everybody marching like 10 soldiers. No. Unity in the fact that we understand who we serve and we understand who the battle. That alone brings. And there, the devil wants to do – the devil would like nothing more than to sow disunity on our team. If he can do that, boy, oh boy. Okay, so real quickly, some of you, we've gone over this before, but I think it's a great opportunity for us to review here. This is How to Create a Socialist State, and this is by Saul Alinsky, who, by the way, was Hillary Clinton's mentor. The Democrat, the left, the God-hating left, this is their Bible. This is their playbook. Okay? So here's their steps, okay? There are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you're able to create a socialist state. You understand what they're trying to do? A socialist state. We know socialism doesn't work, hasn't worked anywhere, never will work. You have to, number one, control healthcare, and you control the people. We saw them try to do that. Number two, increase poverty as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live on. But hey, boys and girls, that's the taxation system. Not only do they put people in poverty, but those of you who are working, they take so much of your taxes that you can't even really get yourself out of debt. What amazing. The third, number three, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. You look at that statement. Increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. Not be ignorant of his devices. Gun control. Saul Alinsky, this is the left. This is the left's Bible. Remove people's ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you're able to create a police state. Alinsky. Number five, welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Hey, is Paul in here this morning? Is Tanya in here today? That's why they wanted to destroy the black family. Lyndon Johnson said, quoting Lyndon Johnson, he says, when they passed the Great Society, when they passed that Great Society, when Lyndon Johnson said, he said, we'll have those niggers voting Democrat for 100 years. Well, Lyndon Johnson said. Education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. Think Common Core. Is this unbelievable? Think Common Core. What's that new education system they're trying to give us out there, folks? Somebody help me here. This devil's playbook right here. Religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. Ding. Number 8, class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to take tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. Scrolling down, is that it, Jared? So here's his rules. Here's his rules. I'm just going to read through these real quickly, and we'll make this available for you too. Alinsky, think about what we see going on in Congress right now. Think about what's going on in the world. Power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. So they're afraid if they fight for Kavanaugh, they're afraid they're going to lose the women. See, that's power. That's the power they think they have. The women rule everything, they think. I don't believe it be true. Power is derived from two sources, haves and haves not. Okay, two, never go outside the expertise of your people. Rules for radicals. Number three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Make us fight on places that we're not comfortable with. Think about this. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. It happens all the time. Four, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. Well, you white guys, you're not for women being assaulted, are you? You're not gonna put a judge on there that believes in that's assaulted women. You're not gonna do that, are you? Make him live up to his own rules. Get as many as 30,000 letters. You can kill them because no one can possibly obey their own rules. Number five, ridicule's man's most potent weapon. There's no defense for it. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point. Ridicule. Six, a good tactic is one your people enjoy doing. So we find these leaders, they're in their riot and going to senator's office. They're having a ball doing it, man. Having a ball doing it. Laughing, drinking, smoking dope, getting laid afterwards. That's what's going on. Rule seven, the tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. As Lowell says, in and out, baby, in and out, in and out. That's why if the Republicans, if men with some stones would stand up, this thing would be over. If they would stand up and say, screw you, we're going to do it, it would be over. Number eight, Jared. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. So Blasey Ford comes out, boom, bring another, then bring another, then bring another. Keep the pressure on. Number nine, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. In other words, the women aren't going to vote for us. Women aren't going to vote for us. Women aren't going to vote. Not true. Number 10, if you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdogs. Unions use the tactic. Peaceful demonstrations during the heyday of the unions in the mid to early 20th century incurred management's wrath, and the union became the victim and management became the wow. Rule 11, the price of successful attack is constructive alternative. Man, never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. Like I said yesterday, same tactic over and over and over and over. Next one, 12, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. Look what they did to Kavanaugh. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people, not go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. This is cruel, but it's very effective. Direct, personalized criticism and ridicule works. I think that's the last one, isn't it, Jerry? So there's what we're seeing. There's what we're seeing. Come on in here, Jared. Then let's get to Ezekiel 22. Well, hang on. I think I'm going there. Somebody come on in and help me here. Nobody has something to say. Or am I just not hearing it? Okay, cool. Doesn't matter. Let me show you. Okay. Let's go there, Jared, since you brought it up there. When we were at Chad's a month ago, I'm going to run down through this. Chad opened up with Ezekiel 22 as a discussion point. And I want to read down through this, and I want to kind of touch in on some things here real quickly. Oh, I hate to go through this quickly. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Ezekiel 22, verse 1. Now, you son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Now, folks, they're telling us just the opposite. Aren't they telling us just the opposite? Who are you to judge? And this word of the Lord came to him, says, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Yeah, thou shalt show her all of her abominations. And then shall say thou, thus saith the Lord God. See, when we are judging, it's not your opinion. It's thus saith the Lord. Homosexual is an abomination, saith the Lord. Not me. It's not me. That's what my shirt's about, right? Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Jesus is the judge. He's already made those judgments. We're his ambassadors. We're supposed to speak at point.
Amen. Coach.
Thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come and make it idols against herself to defile herself. The Lord's saying, this is what the cities are doing. This is what the unsaved cities are doing. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed and hast defiled thyself in thy idols which thou hast made. And thou hast We're supposed to be saying this to the city, right? And thou hast caused thy days to draw near and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen and a mocking unto all countries. Now he's speaking to the prophets who will not be prophets. Those that be near and those that be afar from thee shall mock thee, which art infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, everyone were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee, talking about the cities, have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Who? Fatherless and the widow. Who? The fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and you've profaned my Sabbath. He's reading the charges to the church. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. In your cities are men who carry tales to shed blood. In your city, they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee, they commit lewdness. So they go up to high places in church and all that, but in the middle, they're doing lewdness down there where you can't see them. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed an abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. Still talking about the sins that we're supposed to call out. In thee have they taking gifts to shed blood. See, do you understand how often innocent blood's mentioned? now has taken usury, taxation, interest, and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. The cities are, they're controlling us by extortion. And you've forgotten me, saith the Lord God. So behold, therefore, I've spent my hand at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at the blood which thou hast been in the midst of. He's talking now to the prophet. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I've dealt with you? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and I'm going to disperse you into the countries, and I'm going to consume the filthiness out of you. I'm going to persecute the religious folks so badly that I'm going to get that junk out of you. You're going to take your inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen. You're going to know that I am the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. Talking about the church. That church to me has become dross. They're all brass and tin and iron and lead. In the midst of the furnace, they are even the dross of the silver. Therefore, saith the Lord God, because you have become dross, church, therefore I will gather you into the middle of Jerusalem, and they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you, my church, in mine anger, in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yeah, I'm going to gather you and blow upon you. Can you imagine this flame? He's blowing on it. Shh. And blow upon you the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst thereof. Well, he hadn't appointed us under wrath. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall you be melted in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Not the heathen, you. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the city, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Talking about the church prophets, right? There's a conspiracy there. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey. The church prophets have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. Who have? The church leaders. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. They've brought homosexual pastors into our midst. Neither have they showed difference between the clean and the unclean. And they've hid their eyes from my Sabbath. And I am profaned among them. I'm Lord. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. He's talking about the church, boys and girls. Ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, meaning mortar that's going to crack and break, using vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord our God, when the Lord had not said it. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. They've vexed the poor and the needy. Yeah, they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I saw for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them, his people. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. They, their own way, have I recompensed upon their heads, says the Lord God. See, in other words, we have lost our moral authority because the church has become everything the world was. Amen. Come on in here, somebody.
Amen, coach.
Right there for us. But God doesn't judge. What was the first sentence there, Jared? What was the first verse? came into me saying, "Now thou son of man, will you judge?" Hey, dude, will you do something about this? Will you judge the bloody city? Will you show them they're abominating? Who are you to judge, brother? We're not judge. We're not supposed to judge. Judge not. Who are you to judge?
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
It's maybe connected, but we learn that the witnesses will use fire from their mouth against their enemies.
They got to watch. You guys, you got to watch that video. That's telling you about Lowell. You got to watch that video. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, fire from their mouth. And you just read Ezekiel.
The witnesses are going to, right? The witnesses right. are going to fire come out of their mouths.
Amen. Amen. Now, you just read that God is going to use fire to devour his enemies. You just read that out of Ezekiel.
Right.
Just saying. Just saying.
It's coming, baby. It's coming. It's coming. Somebody else, come on in here. I feel like I've done all the talking. I have. That's why I feel like.
Hey, Coach. This is Dustin from Wisconsin. The thing here is, we're not supposed to judge. That's what they want us to believe. The thing
Absolutely.
Is, if we are judging according to what the Word says, are we really judging out of our own, or are we judging from what we learned and gleaned from the Scriptures? That's where the judgment comes from. Not from ourselves, but what we have learned and gleaned from what the Word has taught us.
What does my shirt say? Jesus is already judged. When we go out and say homosexuality is sin, we're not saying that of our own accord. God's already declared that. When we go out and we say evolution is a delusion, that's not our opinion. God, Jesus, has already declared that. Why won't we stand up and declare what the Lord has declared? Is that not supposed to judge? Not supposed to judge. By the way, Alinsky at work, right? Are they judging Kavanaugh? Huh? Are they judging Kavanaugh without a trial? Go ahead. Is that Dale? I heard somebody.
It is, Coach. Can I give two very insightful passages of Scripture that coincide with one another? Because we're worried about our judgment. But this one is like slap in your face, the judgment of the Lord. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 4, and if Jared can pull it up, because this is insight, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus walks into the temple, into the synagogue, I'm sorry, he opens up the scrolls, and he turns to the spot in Isaiah. And what does he quote in that passage of Scripture? He says, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set captives free." He then closes the scroll, and he looks at them and says, "Today, this Scripture has been fulfilled in your ear." That's because that would have just happened. Now, if you go to Isaiah chapter 61, and you read what follows, the next thing that has not yet been fulfilled is the judgment. So when you open up Isaiah 61, because this is what it says, then it says this, the Spirit of the Lord.
Isaiah 61, where are you, Dale?
I'm starting with verse 1. So he's quoting from this passage of Scripture in the New Testament, and then he closes the scroll, and he tells him, this right here has just been fulfilled in your ear, this Old Testament. But listen to what follows afterwards. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set captives free." Oh, shoot, I got to go to the next.
"In the opening of prison and then that are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance."
That's where he had ended the Scripture in the New Testament. It was right there, right before the day of vengeance.
Wow.
Brother. So when he comes back, they're worried about us judging. When he comes back, he is coming back with the day of vengeance.
Hey, you know? Dale and Mark, hang on, Larry, I'm sorry. Hey, Mark, Trump, you're right, man. I watched that video again. It says very, very clearly that fire is going to come out of the mouth of his people, and it's going to consume them in their spot. I don't think I had ever seen that before. It's in the book of Revelation. It was amazing. That video, you got to watch that video. It's an hour and some minutes, but you got to take some time to do it. Somebody tried to come in. Was it Larry?
Yeah. You know, that judge not lest ye be judged there in Matthew. There's two aspects to the word judge. And there's two different Greek words used. One aspect of judging is determining the punishment for something wrong. And, well, that's not our purview. We're not to do that because that's already been done. Like everybody said, God's already determined that punishment. The other aspect of judging is determining whether something is right or wrong. And we have to do that. If we don't do that, we cannot fulfill our instructions to correct a brother if they're in the wrong. If we can't determine whether they're in the wrong, we can't correct them if they're in the wrong.
Larry, if you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, listen, I hate to tell you this, but man, you got cancer. Now, do you turn to the doctor and say, you're so judgmental? Who are you to judge? No, it's a diagnosis. Our job is to diagnose. Diagnosis isn't judgment. Judgment is if you don't do something about it, you're going to die. That's judgment. And so we're called, as we saw, I can't even believe. You know that 90% of the church doesn't even understand this aspect of it.
The church accepts the accusations of the world as truth instead of the word of God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And I misused the word church there, the false church.
Doesn't yeah, it? I was just going to say, Larry, the so-called church.
Satanic social club.
Okay, let me switch gears on you another thing here. I'm just trying to bring all this together, okay? I'm just trying to do the best I can sitting behind this camera today. Jared, bring up this thing that says election map on it. That they're so lying to us. Remember ridicule, right? Ridicule, bully. They're bullying us. I'm telling you, we don't get it. I got this from the New York Times. Now, you don't have time to do that. Look at that map. But this map, if you click on it, this is by precinct. By precinct. Blue is Hillary. Red is Trump. Now, that doesn't look... Let's go to click on Ohio, Jared. Let's click on Ohio. Click right on it. Yeah, click it. There it goes. So it's going to break down Ohio, and it's going to show you in Ohio. Look at this. In all of Ohio. Look at Ohio. This shows you the precincts, right? Well, look what they are. The Cleveland. Look, 65% of Cuyahoga County was Hillary. Go down the other blue one, Jared. These are the large population areas. It's Franklin County. 60-34. Now that includes some suburbs that would be Republican. Come on down over here, Jared. Come down to Cincinnati, right? Or stay right there. Montgomery County. That's where it was. That's Dayton. Wow. About 50-50. Come on down to see, this is where all the people are. Hamilton County. 53% Hillary Clinton. So here's what's going on. See, here is for us to see the battle that's going on. The conglomerate of people in large, where they can cheat the most. Look at this map. Where does somebody call out where you live? Call out where you live. We can click on it. Somebody give me a state.
Louisiana.
Louisiana. Look at that, Dale. Look at that. By parish. They'll tell you by parish. Where are you, Dale? What parish are you in? Get down here in New Orleans.
We're Jefferson Parish. We're right next door to New Orleans.
So right, Jared.
So you see the red in between New Orleans.
That's you, huh?
That's Baton Rouge. You got to go right.
Look at 76% for Trump there. See, I'm where the real people live.
Buffalo, New York.
Look at that. 90% Donald Trump. Look at this. 67%. And they're telling us, man. But Serge wants you to see Buffalo, up where he is. Go to Buffalo. See the cities. They're killing us in the cities. They cheat in the cities.
And that's where all the poverty is. All the cities that are broke are.
Was that what Alinsky said, though? Didn't Alinsky say create poverty? They're easier to control, create poverty. There you are, Serge. Oh, baby, Serge. 80. Look at that. 90% Hillary Clinton in the cities.
Unbelievable.
No wonder why Surge is underground in a bunker.
Monroe, Wisconsin.
Oh, that'd be scary. That'll be scary. Look at Wisconsin. It's all red except we got to find Monroe. How about Menominee County? 77% Hillary Clinton. That's where I think University of Wisconsin is. Madison, right? Right. Minneapolis. Get in there, Minneapolis. How's that doing? 63%. 86%. Do you see what Alinsky's done? He's created these pockets of dependency in the inner cities, and it's been done on purpose. And here we are out here in Ohio. I'm fighting for all I'm worth to keep homosex out of the life of my grandchildren. Look at it, and most of the people agree with me, but we're being controlled by the inner cities.
Pennsylvania.
Look at California and look at Texas. You'll see the purpose for the illegal immigration.
From the plantations to the projects, Coach.
Amazing. Isn't it amazing? Look at that. Hey, Jared, go back to the West Coast over there. You tell me. Look at the blue. Look at the blue along the coast. Look at that. Large populations along in there. Oh, Hillary Clinton.
Can you look at Mason City, Iowa?
Mason City, Iowa. I will do the best we can. Iowa, there you are, Jared. Polk County, Marion County, Marshall. Where would it be?
Northern Iowa. Central Northern.
Central Northern. Mason City, 51% Hillary Clinton. 58. Folks, listen, this goes by precinct. This will tell you by precinct. Jared, make this available to anybody who wants to see it. It'll show you exact. Folks, it is rules for radicals. Now, see, here's what they want to do. Jared, go to Washington, D.C.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Go to Washington, D.C., Jared. There it is. Look at that. 90%. 90%. That's where all the government, 94%. That's where all the government and government employees are, right?
That's a deep, big swamp.
So we understand.
Northern Virginia, northeastern Virginia, they've ruined it. The seven richest counties in the United States surround Washington, D.C. and Maryland and Virginia.
So we're looking at the deep swamp there, folks. You understand? So here's what happens. Jared, go back there again. They take all of our representatives and they take them to Washington, D.C. And what are they surrounded by the whole time they're in Washington, D.C.? Look at it. That's who they hear from, right? Guys, do you see this? You see what's going on? And so, what's his name? The dude in from Utah, no, Arizona, Flake. Flake comes from Arizona. Jared, go to Arizona real quick. Jeff Flake goes from Arizona
because the scripture that is fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals, brother.
There you are, Dale.
They get
so he comes from basically a red state, except for over here where all the illegals are, and down there where all the illegals are, right? So he comes from a red state, and he goes to Washington, D.C., and who does he hear from? Go back to Washington, Jared. Who does he hear from? Who's he surrounded with? Who's always showing up at his office? Them folk. Right there, those 96% for Hillary. Look at that. Can you believe that, folks? It's amazing. So, Coach, what are you saying? I'm saying we're not to be ignorant of his devices. Everybody in Washington, D.C. thinks they are the world and everybody thinks like them. That's why they ridicule us, see? Everybody they know supports Hillary. Everybody they know. And so they think we're crazy out here. This is why it is so critical to get out and vote.
Because they're all corrupt and bought, Coach.
They're all corrupt and bought. They control the elections. They lost. The Trump won because people in red said, I've had enough of it, and they showed up. And what they're trying to do now is to discourage you that all Republicans are white men and all Republicans are
rapists and all Republican men are. Well, how many times do you see him telling white men, keep your mouth shut? You don't have anything to say in this. White men, white men, white men, white men, white men. Okay, I hope somebody listening out there, once you get a lawsuit and you go to work this week and they call you a grumpy old white man, sue them bastards. They would never call you a grumpy old black man. They'd never get away with that. All right, I got 1,000 more things to show you. Can somebody help me connect the dots here? Ray LeBlanc, good to see you in this morning. Somebody help me connect the dots here. I got so much more to talk about.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
In Reno, 2 blocks away from the courthouse is a Communist Party office called The Plan. And they are there to persuade government officials with the ideology. And it's a synagogue of Satan. That's what I say.
Okay, Jeff. So here's the point I made yesterday. Jared's out in Hawaii. Jared's fascinated by this now. Look at all the blue out in Hawaii, right? Look at all that. See, now I just said that, Jared, and then I lost my train of thought. My train of thought is that Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is work. See, it's work. They are not the majority, folks. They are not the majority. They just tell us we are. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the churches got together? If the church, hey, Gary Pierce, I got to get this guy on. I got to make this phone call. Some guys out there's got a movement going. Are you listening now? He said, we need to do this at the churches. Call it See You at the Polls. See You at the Polls. You get the churches right now to send prayer teams to their local governments, begin to pray around their local governments with the theme being, see you at the polls on November, what is it, 9th? See you at the polls. If Christians turn out, take a look at that map, see exactly what's going on. Now, are your churches, your pastors exhorting you to get out and vote? Probably not, right? And doesn't that bring us back to Ezekiel 22? And say
we're having another marriage seminar.
Yeah, another marriage seminar, right? Right.
Have a great marriage.
Roger, are they inviting men and men to it?
I don't know. They're not doing that, but we're going to have another marriage. Like, we need to learn how to be committed.
Yeah. And see, we've mixed the holy with the profane. What he says, right? We've mixed the holy with the profane.
Well, divorce is just as high in the church as it is in the world. Yeah, those seminars are working real good.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody needs to watch the latest video by Trey Smith called Midterm Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he's been going to all these Trump rallies and trying to make people aware. These rallies are drawing 20 and 30,000 people, and there's almost as many people outside in lines that can't get in.
Jefferson City, Tennessee last night was the largest lines they've had at any one of the Trump rallies, Jim.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable because the media won't cover it, of course, and people are coming out in support of him. I think at least 2-1 what they did during the election.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too, Tim. Folks, listen, we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. And we have to understand, hey, love Trump. It's a lesser of two evils. I'm not going to vote for that pussy grabber. I'm not. He had strip clubs. You get Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And I hate to tell you, in this fallen world that we're in, sometimes you're going to have to make a choice between the greater of two goods or the lesser of two evils. Sometimes that is just the reality. And Christians. Go ahead, Rod.
Oh, I agree. Amen. You know, I'm going to the marriage seminar next week.
Going to marriage seminar. Yep. And we won't, and they won't, see, they won't mix the holy with the profane. They use that term in talking about not speaking about religious things from the pulpit, yet they'll bring homos into the church and let them lead the praise and worship. Folks, we cannot be ignorant of his devices. We are sitting on a cataclysmic time bomb. If they don't get Kavanaugh thrown out, you mark my word, we ain't seen nothing like what's going to happen. Draw near to the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.